What's good, everybody? Monday morning edition, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Pete Jensen here with Waiver Wire, James Harding. Hopefully, Robbie Reese joins us in a bit. He's having some technical issues, but we're getting this thing rolling. Big time waiver wire implications from the weekend. A ton of players came back from injury. Some guys are on the shelf now. What's up, James?
What's going on, Pete? Yeah, a bunch of guys come back from injury. We got some teams coming back this week who have been off for about a week or two because of the COVID protocol. So, a lot of guys to get to this week, a lot of guys who weren't even on the waiver wire because they haven't really played.
Yep.
And, and morning, Bob, by the way, good morning to our esteemed producer, Mr. Bender.
Yes. Give me the bow. Give me the Cobra Kai bow. Thank you very much, Waiver Wire James. Just got word from Rob Reese. He is out for today's program. We're going to try to wheel him in. He's having some technical issues, as PD mentioned. So it's going to be Waiver Wire James and PDJ. And I'm going to swoop in like a seagull and pick up the scraps here and there. So let's get going on a 2:15:21. Waiver Wire James, Peter Jensen, away we go.
Well, one thing I want to just mention here right off the top. I mean, we had probably the game of the year from two top teams in the league standpoint. It was low scoring, but the Avs had most of their guys back, not quite Landeskog, and Cale Makar was also out, but MacKinnon was back. Devon Taves was back. They get shut out by Marc-Andre Fleury. And this is just one of those moments. Monday morning, I have Fleury in two of my leagues, and I could say right now, like, he's been one of the surprise stories of the season for me, fantasy-wise, second shutout of the year. And we're not even talking about Robin Lehner anymore because he's day-to-day. But, like, it's been amazing, right, what Marc-Andre Fleury is doing here, especially after he was kind of banished in the playoffs last year, James.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, we kind of had the feeling that this was going to be the storyline with Vegas all year, didn't we? We said that they had the best goaltending tandem in the league.
Yep.
You know, we knew that going into the season, they weren't able to find anybody to take on Marc-Andre Fleury. So they said, you know what, we're just going to roll with it. We're going to go Lehner and Fleury. And I think they're really just playing the hot hand right now. And when you look at what Fleury is doing this season, I mean, 7 wins, a 1.38 goals against, a 944 save percentage, 2 shutouts in 8 games started. I mean, you know, you got to figure that if he can continue these numbers and if he hits 20 wins, he's going to be in the Vezina consideration. So, you know, it's a little surprising just because everybody was expecting Lehner to be the guy there this season, but it's not surprising at all because we know who we're talking about. It's Marc-Andre Fleury, and, you know, the guy's going to be a Hall of Famer one day.
Yeah, and you mentioned coming off the top. I mean, one key storyline this week is all these teams are coming back to practice. I know the Devils are coming back for practice on Monday. You know, Colorado just came back from the hiatus, played their first game in what feels like a couple of weeks. Buffalo Sabres over the weekend practice. Minnesota Wild, guys are coming off the COVID list, which is really good news to see. But like for Colorado, we're just banking on the fact that they're going to take advantage of a lot of these games that they're playing, but they still have a ton of games left, especially coming up here. They have 3 more games, including the Lake Tahoe game against the Vegas Golden Knights. And then when you look at some of the worst teams in that division, like look at Minnesota, look at Arizona, look at Anaheim, right? All these teams have like good goaltending. So does that make you worry about the Avalanche in terms of like their offensive upside and ceiling and your waiver wire pickups? Like looking at some of the worst teams, they're not going to have an easy road to score, you know, 5-6 goals in different games.
Hold on, James. Executive producer Bob Bender was wrong. It looks like we do have the handsome and well put together Rob Reese on this President's Day Monday. Rob, give me an audio test. Let's just do a quick run through for the. This is live to tape, folks. Behind the scenes, a little
how. 1-2 troubleshooting live. Can you hear me?
The audio is not great. We're gonna have to battle through it. James, why don't you answer Peter's question there? Thanks for hopping on, Robbie. And then we're still sorting out Rob here live to tape.
Yeah, Pete, you know, I don't know if it's going to really affect too much because I think the guys that you're going to want to target from Colorado, a team like that, are already really on your roster. And I think you have to wait and see with some of these other guys how everything kind of pans out once they get back up to speed. You know, the guys, the big guys are already going to be on your rosters and the other guys like the Burakovskis, the Devon Taves. Even, you know, down the lineup a little bit, maybe like a Donskoy or a Saad, you know, those are the guys that I think you have to wait and see how they bounce back coming out of the break right now. So I don't know if it's really going to affect how much, you know, you're picking up these guys or whether or not you're going to pick up these guys. I think it's going to be just where it was before they took the break due to the COVID protocols.
Makes sense. Yeah, Robbie, we're just talking about, you know, kind of the Avalanche road ahead, playing so many games against Vegas this week. And then, you know, even some of the more favorable matchups around the West Division, have those teams have good goaltending. So are you worried at all about the Avalanche, who are still top five in our power rankings? Are you worried about them scoring goals, say, at the rate that Edmonton is up in the North?
Well, I don't think anybody's going to score up with the North Division. I just don't think there's any team that's going to match that on a night-to-night basis, right, James? I mean, even if you're looking at the Senators, they're going to score three or four goals occasionally, right? So for the Avalanche, I'm not worried. I just think you're going to have to play the matchups a little bit as things level out this season. We've seen teams like Washington have a week off. We've seen teams like Buffalo have 2 weeks off. They're returning to action on Monday night. Same thing with the Devils, had two full weeks off. And then the Avs been on the shelf. I think they were out for 12 to 13 days. So I just think there's going to be rust this season. For the big teams, though, the big dogs, I'd really have no concern. Now, for teams like Buffalo or for teams like New Jersey, James, I think I'd be a little bit more cautious of moving forward.
Yeah, I'm taking a hard pass on those guys for a little bit until we really see them get up to speed. You know, Buffalo, their first game back, you can say what you want to say about the inconsistencies of the New York Islanders, but the last three or four games, they've been playing like the team that we saw in the bubble playoffs last year that got to the Eastern Conference final against Tampa Bay. And now Buffalo's first game back is going to be against those New York Islanders. And you look at how Semyon Varlamov has started this season right now. He's a guy who, you know, 10 starts into the season, if you multiply his numbers out by four, and he gets around that 40 to 45 start range in 56 games, and he continues the production level, he's going to be one of the four or five goaltenders that's going to be in the running for the Vezina as well. So, you know, you look at the road ahead for a team like Buffalo. You have to wait to see when New Jersey gets back. I'm not super confident outside of the real big guys on those rosters. And I actually had a question from a guy over the weekend of, you know, when should I cut bait with a guy like Rasmus Dahlin, Rasmus Ristolainen, and some of these guys from Buffalo who you bought high on in anywhere between rounds, you know, 5 through 10. And now, you know, are you considering getting rid of them?
Well, I think it's an impossible question to give a definitive answer with, just because we haven't seen a lot from the Sabres. They've been on the shelf. I mean, is Linus Ullmark the secret sauce there to make that team play to their level every night? I don't know. Now, James, I think for a guy like Ristolainen, I would certainly keep him because he's a monster in hits and blocks. For Dahlin, on the other hand, while you might get more power play points from that player, you're not getting a whole lot else category coverage-wise. So I would answer that question on what are they doing for me in the last couple of weeks. For Buffalo, I think you have to hold the very valuable guys, but then the guys like Dahlin, I think this season there's not enough time here. You got to cut bait. And now Cale Makar, day-to-day for the Colorado Avalanche, maybe you go out and pick up a Byram. Maybe you go out if Taves is available, somebody like that. And I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of drop-off between a potential Dahlin and one of those.
Yeah, Devon Taves is out there in some shallow leagues and has been a really impressive player. I know he played 25 minutes in the game against Vegas, and I know they got shut out, but he's just like one of the safest guys out there. Sam Girard still on the COVID protocol list, last I checked. Speaking of the Devils, I did see that Ty Smith and Jack Hughes are off that list, which is great news. Those are the two guys, along with Mackenzie Blackwood, that I would be patient with, just because they're high-end young talent, for probably the worst team in the East, but they were a big surprise prior to this pause in the season. So don't forget of that. Don't forget about that. Don't lose sight of it. So, and then, looking around the league, another big omission from the list, which was good news, was Steven Stamkos. I know Tyler Johnson stepped up for the Lightning over the weekend, scored 2 goals playing on the top line, but now Stamkos is back. So, and it looks like the Lightning have corrected things at least a little bit, right? They romped Florida after losing to them two nights prior.
Yeah, Stamkos being back is definitely going to boost that top six a little bit. The only guy I did have Andre Palat this week on the waiver wire list. When you look at what he's been doing and the production level that he has had, you know, his name has been out there for a long time, but he's still available readily in over 40% of Yahoo leagues, which to this point is a little really surprising. Six goals, 11 points, and getting excellent category coverage, 22 shots on goal and 20 hits. So, you know, I don't expect much out of Johnson this year, even though he is going to be playing on that second line. But especially with Stamkos coming back, if Andre Palat is available in any of your leagues, you need to run out there and get him because, you know, he has gotten the trust and the faith of that coaching staff down there. And he is Braden Point's, you know, left winger, and you need to roll with him.
With Cirelli out now, though, do you have any concerns that maybe the Bolts aren't going to maintain that high scoring, or do you think this team is just too good in a probably the top team in the division, James, even with the injuries?
I mean, with the injury, you know, we've seen them get injuries so far this season. We've seen them have pauses and come back as strong as ever. I think that top line is going to carry the load until they don't need to. And I think that they have the ability to mix and match that middle six. Matthew Joseph has had a couple of really good games. So, you know, you never know. He could get a little bit of a jump up in the lineup there. You know, they still have other center, other players who do have experience playing center, even a guy like a Barclay Gaudreau or on that third line down there. So they have some mixing and matching potential that they can do with that middle six. But I think once Stamkos comes back, that top line is going to be back intact. And that's really, you know, the line that everybody's going to want to target.
Yeah, the Lightning are one of those teams out there that probably won't lose consecutive games the rest of the way, like regardless of opponent, even if they're playing one of the other top teams in the Central Division, like Dallas or Carolina. So just something to keep in mind, bounce back wise for DFS and sports betting. Like if the Lightning ever do lose a game, it's pretty much almost guaranteed at this point that they're going to bounce back and respond in the next game. One big surprise for me on this Monday morning is that the Pittsburgh Penguins are hanging around in this thing and playing really well against some of the other fringe teams in the East Division. I checked this morning, they're 7-2 this year against, you know, some of those fringe teams like the Islanders, the Capitals, and the Rangers this year. 7-2. I mean, that's going to keep them in contention the rest of the way if they keep that up. I mean, they've struggled this year against Boston and Philly, a lot of games coming up against them the rest of the way. But still, the Penguins like are a top five possession team, I saw as of this morning, and they're hanging around. The top line looks really good. The goalies are picking up some wins, some dirty wins, and they're yielding some fantasy value in the process.
Well, I thought they were pretty impressive against the Capitals. The Capitals, of course, have the goalie issues. I thought they were pretty impressive to come back against the Islanders, the Pittsburgh Penguins. They were down 4-3 late in the third, right? They come back and win the game. Mm-hmm. Malkin seems to, you know, he's starting to get going. Jari, it's all about the goaltending for Pittsburgh. If Jari can somehow be somewhat serviceable like he was, I guess you could say, yesterday against the Capitals. I think the Penguins, I think they're better than the Rangers. I'm not sure if they're better than the Islanders. Those are the two teams that I think will be vying for that fourth spot, right? We've been saying it. That fourth spot seems to be up for grabs. And you know, we're penciling in the Capitals based on their talent, but the goaltending, they've gotten screwed with the goaltending. Samsonov not being able to play. Lundqvist, of course, with the heart issue. They're relying on the kid Vanecek, who can only go so far. So the East is going to be fun for that fourth spot. It's going to be great.
Yeah, and they're getting Samsonov back soon. I mean, they activated him from the COVID protocol list. They sent him to the AHL for his conditioning stint. So, you know, he is coming back soon. I would venture a guess that he'd probably be back sometime either later this week or early to mid next week. And they need him, you know, badly because we talked about Vanecek a couple of times in the last 2 weeks, and we said that, you know, he's starting to feel the workload now that he's never felt before in these big high pressure games, and it's starting to show a little bit. You know, you can't just it's hard for a guy like him to just walk into being the 1A starter on a playoff contending team, and you're seeing that now. But yeah, Pittsburgh is very surprising. they're undefeated at home so far this season. So they have struggled on the road. You know, they're 5-0-0 on home, 2-5-1 on the road. So, you know, definitely I would fade them a little bit, you know, in road matchups. It definitely seems that the travel has gotten to them a little bit this season, but they're hanging around. And you know, I mean, obviously we know, you know, Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang, guys like that, they're always going to keep them in games. They're always going to keep them, you know, in seasons. And like Bobby said, it's just going to come down to the goaltending. Jari and Casey DeSmith has been really solid so far this season, every chance that he's gotten in net. So, you know, he's another guy, especially in DFS and for spot starts. He keeps them in every game when he starts.
It's true. I mean, I do view them as a weak goaltending tandem in the grand scheme of things. And I'm like not running to the waiver wire to pick up either of those guys, Jari or DeSmith. I view them a step above, like definitely a step above Vancouver, where I'm not owning those guys in fantasy anymore. But, you know, I would probably be more inclined to even pick up a starter that has efficient numbers like Ullmark when he comes back, or definitely Blackwood if he's out there. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Like if Blackwood is out there because of the Devils not playing for a number of weeks, like that's where you have to take advantage on the fantasy waiver wire right now. And yeah, for the Capitals, it's been really tough, like with all these guys being out of the lineup. Like we know about the four Russian guys who missed it because of the protocol, but then two of them came back, but Kuznetsov just finally came back. Oshie was banged up. Justin Schultz was banged up for a number of weeks after it seemed like it might only be a game or two. It ended up being like 2 weeks for him. So on top of the goaltending concerns for Washington, like their whole lineup is finally coming back together. So give them a little bit of time here to correct some things. And they are allowing the fifth most goals per game in the league, or actually second most goals per game in the league right now, which is a big concern, but hopefully Sammy cures some of those problems.
Yeah. Justin Schultz had a power play assist and three shots on goal in his first game back yesterday in that loss against Pittsburgh. So definitely only 37% rostered in Yahoo League. So if he's out there, and we saw what he did a few weeks ago when all the big guns for Washington were out with the COVID protocols, when Ovechkin wasn't there, Kuznetsov wasn't there. So, you know, Schultz seems to be, you know, given a big offensive role, both at even strength and the power play. So definitely one of those guys you should be going out and targeting.
Okay, Robbie is gone, folks. It just it didn't work out on this President's Day, having some tech issues. Just want to keep everyone in the loop on what's going on with Robbie. You heard him. We started without him. He pumped in. Now he's out. What else do we got as far as waiver wire stuff? And then we got a Monday slate, a President's Day slate to get to. And James has to go catch a bus to get to his full-time job. So we got to go rapid fire, Petey. What do we got?
So, you know, well, Pete, I want to know your thoughts on Columbus right now. I mean, we talked about Roslovic a few weeks ago, and we talked about the Laine Dubois trade. And it's interesting now to see the fallout from that in the lineup ramifications. We were, you know, trying to go through all of the different lineup variants that they could possibly roll out. It seems like they have found a really solid top line with Roslovic centering Laine and Cam Atkinson at both even strength and on the power play. You know, what do you make of Roslovic and Atkinson as far as staying power for those guys for the rest of the season? Because Atkinson was my top waiver wire ad on the list this week.
Well, I think it works out well for them because I think we like we've been preaching, like players like Bjorkstrand, Nick Foligno, they're good standalone players. Like they don't need to have strong line mates to produce every game, every other game. So having a dynamic top line trio is something that the Blue Jackets have lacked for a long time. I don't know if they even had as good of a trio as this when they had Panarin. I mean, like they didn't have as complete of a trio, that's for sure. So even though they had an elite player at that time, but yeah, Laine looks dynamic. Roslovic's keeping it going. Atkinson's showing signs of life here that we've been waiting for two seasons now. Last year, remember, was a big step down for him and the Columbus offense overall, even though they were a playoff team. They, you know, they were, I think their leading scorer didn't even have 50 points last year or something along those lines. So, you know, the offense seems to be more appealing for fantasy and DFS, and you know, for overs in games, like we mentioned. I know that they, you know, their goaltending has been all Korpisalo so far because Merzlikins has been banged up, but now Merzlikins has been activated. So that's one player that I was just looking at because of the offensive prowess they're showing. And Seth Jones is on a nice stretch right now. Like, I would go out there if you need a second or third goalie, I would swing a fantasy trade for Merzlikins, because once he gets the opportunity, I think he's going to be racking up some wins, some shutouts, especially against some of the lower teams in the Central.
And had a question actually from one of our listeners, Sal on Twitter. He hit me up earlier today. He actually hit both of us up earlier today. And he said, I'm thinking of dropping Bo Horvat for Jordan Staal. Now, I have Jordan Staal on the waiver wire piece this week, and he is skating at even strength right now with Andrei Svechnikov. And I don't know if I'm ready to give up on a guy like Horvat right now, but Staal, he's tied for the team lead in points with Svechnikov. He's centering their second power play unit. It looks like they have some pretty good chemistry. He has 12 points, all 12 of his points and 5 power play points in his last 9 games. So, you know, that combination definitely seems to be working. I don't know. What's your thoughts on Horvat versus Staal?
I think the rest of the way you'll get better production almost guaranteed from Bo Horvat, regardless of line mates. If it's a keeper league, you got to keep Horvat as opposed to Staal, who's a veteran player at this point. And if it's a face-offs league, I would also, although, you know, Stahl's valuable, I did pick him up recently in one face-offs league. Like Horvat, I just still view on another level compared to Jordan Staal fantasy-wise. I mean, real life, what Carolina's doing in terms of their center depth is really good if you pick them, you know, to go deep in the playoffs, to the Final Four, to the Cup Final, like I did, because they have Aho, who's a great two-way center. They have Trocheck, who's a big body that, you know, throws it around a little bit and scores as well. And then Jordan Staal as well, no matter who he's playing with, always seems like he gets the most out of his line mates, even if it's a second or third line. So I would go Horvat almost exclusively in that question to be answered. But yeah, what Jordan Stahl's doing, and also Brett Pesce, like if you're looking for a defenseman out there, I know he was your best defenseman on the waiver wire, James.
Yeah.
Like, he's got 7 points in his past 7 games and seems to be more valuable than, say, a Jacob Slavin. Like, he's maybe the second most valuable Hurricanes defenseman right now, but behind Dougie Hamilton.
Yeah, and you mentioned Vincent Trocheck too. You know, if you're looking for a team that has a lot of fantasy depth, you have to be looking at Carolina right now. I mean, you obviously have the big guys. You have Aho, you have Svechnikov, but Nino Ryder is having a pretty underrated season. Warren Fogle is having a decent season. Natchez is having a decent season. Trocheck has 9 points in his last 7 games, including 5 power play points in that span. So, you know, this is a team that's producing top to bottom. James Reimer is a quality add right now if he's available on your waiver wire, because he's going to see the majority of the starts, even though he's very boom or bust until Peter Mrazek comes back. So, you know, we're talking about these teams where there's a lot of underlying value. I would rather try and target a team like Carolina for depth in their lineup versus trying to target a team like Tampa Bay, because I think you're going to get more depth production from a team like Carolina than you will out of guys on Tampa Bay.
Yeah, that's fair for sure. And just so everybody knows, so every Friday and then every Sunday, we got team power rankings, NHL.com/fantasy. And then we got line rankings over the weekend. And then James's top 10 waiver story usually goes up on Sunday evening. So that's like when you do your roster building and planning. And if you need to break ties, of course, you know, when a team is on a COVID hiatus, that really hurts. But, you know, if you need to break ties and you're looking at, you know, Carolina as opposed to, you know, maybe a team like Minnesota or something, like, look at those team power rankings, and it's based on all number of factors, including number of players in the top 200. And that's where you could really see a team's fantasy depth. It's a little bit different than when you ask a general hockey analyst, you know, what's your top 10 in your power rankings. It's very different for fantasy. Like, you'll see a team like the Maple Leafs a lot higher because of their depth in fantasy. You'll see a team like Carolina. I know I saw people chirp, you know, the Super 16 at NHL.com for having the Hurricanes too low. We have the Hurricanes higher because they take on a little bit more importance in fantasy, I would say.
Okay. It's time to move the ship into port, folks. As we look at the Monday slate, James, what stands out to you? DFS picks, you know, picks in general, prices you like, against the grain. What are you looking at, James, before we let you get out of here and get to your full-time job?
You know, there's a lot of big lines out there tonight, but I kind of like Nashville plus 150 on the money line against Dallas. You know, Dallas has been pretty inconsistent lately. Pekka Rinne has been playing really well for the Predators. So, you know, I kind of like that a little bit there, you know, for really good value. I would maybe say also, even though it's not a great line, Winnipeg plus 115 against Edmonton tonight, I think could be a little good. That one I may you know shy away from, but I like that one a lot there. And for DFS purposes, though, to touch back on the Nashville Dallas game, Jason Robertson was also on the waiver wire this week. He's playing on that line there with Roope Hintz and Denis Gurianov, and he's been very, very productive lately. So I think he's a great value pick that you can get.
Very nice. I was going through the board, and that number also jumped out at me. As bad as the Predators have been, you know, to be able to grab them at plus 150, like you said, against the Dallas team that is a little inconsistent.
Dallas has lost five in a row.
I understood. That's why Nashville jumped out at me at that price. As bad as they've been, I think I'd put a shekel plus 150 as well, James. As I look at the rest of the board, boy, oh boy, slim pickings out there. Let Pete go, and then maybe I can come up with a gem up my sleeve. Not sure if I will, though. Go ahead, Pete.
Well, definitely wanted to mention, like James was talking about, Pekka Rinne, and then also another guy that's emerged from Nashville, even though we're a little sour on that team in general, Dante Fabbro. Roll him out in DFS. Mattias Ekholm is out, I think, week to week, as is Ryan Johansson. But when you look at Fabbro being a young defenseman, kind of, you know, joining that mix now, like, you know, the great defense in Nashville, he's a big part of it offensively as well with Ekholm out. So that's someone to consider in all formats. Maybe if a Pesci is gone and none of the Colorado guys are out there and it's pretty slim out there. He's had a couple of goals lately, Fabbro. So something to keep in mind there. I am intrigued by the Sabres, slight underdogs against the Islanders, just because they have been so inconsistent. You know, I'm big on Ullmark if he starts for DFS. Looks like Taylor Hall is going to play. Looks like Sam Reinhart's a question mark because he's been, you know, in and out with being day to day and stuff. But if Reinhart's there, I mean, we'll see. If Rasmus Dahlin is there, that could be a bounce back spot for him. He's had a lot of time to think about how badly the season has gone. And I could see him erupting here after a number of weeks of rest.
Yeah, Dahlin definitely a buy low candidate. Looking at the board again, I can't believe that the odds in that Blue Jackets Hurricanes game, I mean, minus 175 for the Hurricanes, plus 150 for the Blue Jackets. That's another one. I think, you know, I mean, they're tied in the standings right now. I don't see Carolina being that huge of a favorite, especially with how inconsistent Reimer has been for them. So that's another one, you know, Nashville plus 150, Columbus plus 150.
Yeah. I don't have that price for whatever reason on my board, Columbus, Carolina. So that is a no price game on the Action Sports Network. I don't see anything, but if that's the price, I mean, I would take the value on Columbus. Late slate, I kind of like the way Vancouver came out and put on their work boots literally and figuratively the other night. Maybe they've righted the ship. They look like they got a vote of confidence, or the coach got a vote of confidence. So look for Vancouver to maybe keep it rolling here. They have to play better than what they've played early on in the season. And Calgary, listen, not a great team. I'll take Vancouver at plus 114 and put my head on the pillow and rest easy.
Yeah, and a couple other injury notes for this game. Pierre-Luc Dubois sounds like he's out for another game, so that's a rough one for the Jets. They have to reshuffle the lines. Erik Karlsson got injured over the weekend, so maybe the Ducks being slight underdogs. I don't know why they would be an underdog against the Sharks when John Gibson is playing as well as he has and getting shutouts left and right. He's got three on the season, so it's a potential bounce-back game for the Sharks, but we haven't seen anything to indicate that that's going to happen. So maybe roll the Ducks as a slight underdog. And then Jaden Schwartz also for the Blues is likely out. He got injured over the weekend. He didn't play in the game on Saturday for St. Louis. And then Ivan Barbashev is the guy that's now playing with Ryan O'Reilly and David Perron. If you're looking for a dirt cheap waiver, you know, pickup in a deep league or maybe more suited for DFS, right, James? I mean, that's really top-notch lineup placement with Ryan O'Reilly and Perron.
Yeah, 100%. I had Barbashev on the list this week, so I would definitely go out there and try and roll him. Also, another really great DFS value play is going to be Luke Cunningham from Nashville. He's centering their top line with Ryan Johansson out right now, so he's centering Philip Forsberg and Victor Arvidsson at even strength. So, you know, a huge waiver wire, a low end waiver wire target, or a great value guy there to throw into your lineups for DFS purposes, who's going to be pretty valuable and, you know, pretty low salary.
Okay, that'll do it. Anything else? Hopefully, if you have anything else, it's real quick because James is going to be it's getting tight. We had some technical difficulties. James, thanks for hanging in there, buddy.
Yeah, anybody coming on? Anybody wants any golf betting advice? Don't bet Jordan Spieth in the final round anytime soon.
Oh, hey, I was thinking about taking Berger live going into that final round. It was like plus 500 or so. I actually looked at the board in the morning when I was in bed and then completely forgot about the play. And what happens? Berger ends up winning. So missed opportunity. Yeah.
I called that last week too. I said, I said, if there's one guy who I would bet on last week to make a charge and win it, it would have been Koepka. And I just, Jordan Spieth until he closes it out right now, right. It's been almost 4 years since a win. It's like, until he closes it out, I'm fading him every time he's in contention.
He's a head case. Okay, Petey, put the sign out, the lockout, we'll call it. And thanks for hanging with us with the technical difficulties, everybody. Appreciate it.
Yeah, sounds good. We'll certainly have Robbie back on Wednesday, and we'll go Monday, Wednesday, Friday this week per usual. One fun fact I wanted to mention, James threw out a name that we haven't discussed yet on the show earlier, Jason Robertson. It's actually Nick Robertson's brother, the guy from the Maple Leafs, who's been out with an injury but joined them in the playoffs last year. So very quietly, there's some pedigree there, and that those guys seem to be taking the league by storm. Don't sleep on Nick when he comes back. I mean, he could play in the Leafs top six, but Jason has a nice opportunity here for Dallas, especially with Radulov injured. So thanks again, James, for joining us. Hit up Robbie at NHL Reese with any of your questions since you didn't hear from him much today. Bobby, James, Pete Jensen saying so long. Talk to you again on Wednesday, NHL Fantasy on Ice.